want to say thanks to Matt, who I failed to say at a, we got together at a, we have, man, we have a focus group that meets, and we're going through axioms, and just failed to mention that this idea came from that group, just where we're talking about the need, or talking about the surplus. And it was just a really good conversation, and then went to staff and talked with them about it, and then went to the committee and talked to them about it. And I just am so grateful for how God has just worked this project out. Maybe you still have your 20. Maybe God will show you this week. I think for me, when I look at this, there's a couple of things that I am reminded of. More than anything, though, that I'm reminded of is how much the Holy Spirit wants to prompt us with our gifts and our resources to be a part of connecting people to the generous God that we serve. And it just doesn't go with finances. It just doesn't go with money. I mean, it's every part of our lives. And I just want to say, you know, we talk about this morning about the first Sunday of the year and just what kind of church do we want to become. And I just want to say, I want us to be a church that's led by God, period. Led by God. The God who speaks, teaches. The God who speaks, leads. The God who speaks, encourages. The God who speaks, spurs us on. And then He invites us to do the same. He invites us to do what He does. Matter of fact, He does it through us. We are His vehicles. We are not reservoirs. We are channels. We are not reservoirs. We are channels. We are rivers of living water, the Scripture says, that out of it will flow. And we are the channel of the river that is to give and give and give. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture in Rome, in Acts chapter 8. I want you to turn there about the promptings of the Spirit of God. The promptings of the Spirit of God. And just how I believe that God would lead us in this year to be sensitive to the voice of God and how He speaks to us, and then to hear what He says, hear what He's asking us to do, and then to do it, and to do it quickly. To obey the initial promptings of God in our lives. What does that look like? What is that supposed to look like here in our lives? What did it look like back in Acts? Well, there's a wonderful story in chapter 8 of Acts. It's verse 25, and it's a very familiar story of where the Ethiopian eunuch receives Christ. I want you to see verse 25, and I'm just going to read the passage, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. So when they solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Verse 26, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road, or literally a deserted place. So he got up and he went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he'd come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join the chariot. And so Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will reveal his generation, relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? And Philip opened his mouth and watch this. Beginning from this scripture, he preached or he proclaimed Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe in all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, and Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him.
When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Here is a man who knew who he was. Who knew who he was in God, who knew who he was in Christ. That's really the one thing I think about when I think about listening to the Spirit of God, wanting to hear Him, wanting to be a part of His kingdom, wanting to be that channel, wanting to be that river that flows, wanting to be used by Him. I have to have this insight in my life, this knowledge, this faith of who I am in Christ and what God's called me to be and called me and the call of God on my life. And this is a man who knew that. He understood it. Now, Philip was one of the seven in Acts chapter 6 or 7, I believe. I think it's, let's go there for just a moment. Acts chapter 6. And I want you to notice what the Bible says about Stephen and the other six of these deacons that we believe were deacons that were separated for to wait tables, to serve tables. Now, at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men, now watch this, of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. And we'll devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, and a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands upon him. Let me now tell you a couple of things about Philip. First of all, Philip was a man in Christ. He was born again. He was a new creation. The old was past. There were exciting things happening in his life. And he was known. He was known, first of all, as a man of good reputation, or they would not have selected him. He was also known as a man full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. Now, I'm going to say this, and then you'll go on and say, full of the Spirit, also full of God's Spirit. Full of wisdom, full of Spirit, and men of good reputation. People of good reputation. I'm going to say this. That's Philip. That's who you and I are in Christ. Do you live the reputation out? Is there wisdom flowing out of our lives? Is there the Spirit of God full of power, full of direction? Listen, Philip is a man of human flesh. He's a human being just like us. Same kind of nature. Had the same kind of salvation experience that you and I have. When God appointed Philip to do what God asked Philip to do, and that at that particular point was just to serve tables, just to wait on tables. Do you know that he had a good resume to wait on tables? Good resume, good reputation, full of wisdom, right? Full of the Spirit, I'm going to put you in charge. Waiting tables? I'd much rather have a speaking gift. Or I'd much rather have a healing gift. Well, that might come if you're faithful to the things that God's called you to. And bottom line is this man is faithful. These seven are faithful. They're faithful to God. And I want to say this is so important in hearing God and obeying the promptings of God. This man knew his relationship with God. He knew that he was a child of God and that he would be led by the Spirit so that his reputation, his wisdom, the Spirit-filled life that he lived would be known to all. Known to all. You know, here you have this thing going on where they're distributing food to widows. And there's some that are being neglected in their minds. And instead of just fighting about it and fussing about it, he said, okay, well, let's take seven of your folks from this group of people, and you take care of it. You are in charge. We entrust you with God's food, with God's money, and we place you in charge. You choose them. Oh, we got it. One of them's got to be Philip. Got a great reputation. He's full of the Spirit. He's full of wisdom. And by the way, wisdom is not just knowing about something. It's doing the something that you have wisdom about or you know about. A person, really, the Bible says in Scripture, is a fool who knows what to do and doesn't do it. The wise man builds his house on the rock because he hears the word and he does the word. And that's what we're really talking about. Just doing what God asks us to do. That's it. Part of this exercise has been that. What would God do? What would God do in our lives if we said, okay, God, every single day, every morning I get up, I'm going to do exactly what you asked me to do. With my money, with my gifts, with my words, with my thoughts, with my responses, everything you asked me to do, I'm going to do. I'm going to say this. That's what these guys did. That's how they lived. It's interesting is when Philip heads and he's preaching, you know, and God says to him, hey, the angel appears, says, go leave this place of great ministry and go down to the desert road. He doesn't really tell him why, and he doesn't even tell him what to do. Why? He doesn't have to tell him what to do. He knows he's to proclaim Christ. He knows he's to proclaim Christ. He's to speak Jesus. He's to live Jesus. He's to proclaim with lips life. He doesn't need to say, okay, that's what you go and do. No, he's already doing that. That's just the assumption. Assumption in his life, which is a true assumption, and it's right, is that I'm proclaiming the gospel, and now God has something else for me to do. And it doesn't make sense to leave this place and walk 50, 60, or 70 miles to this desert place where there's no people. But he does it. Why? Because he's a child of God. Now, Scripture says in Romans chapter 8, and we won't turn there, I think it's verse 17, it says this, it says, these are the sons of God, these who are led by the Spirit of God. Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. That's what Scripture says. And the Spirit of God leads us to do a lot of things. In the passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 12 through 17, the context is putting to death deeds of the flesh. Being led by the Spirit to put away sin, to put away darkness, to put away the sins that entangle us. But being led by the Spirit is a whole lot more than that. Amen? It's about faith, it's about believing, it's about being a part of the kingdom of God. And so, know who you are. Are you in Christ? Is this you? Does this look like you? Or does this look like your family? Or does this look like your marriage? A marriage and a people and a family and a church that's in Christ, born again, new creation, good reputation, full of wisdom, full of the Spirit, in charge of a couple of things, responsible for a couple of things. And do I take that really, really seriously as a child of God to hear God so that I can serve and I can proclaim Jesus? Know who you are in Christ. These guys knew who they were. These people knew who they were in Christ. And therefore, because they knew who he was and they knew how he spoke, it would be no problem that when the Holy Spirit would come and say, hey, I need you to do this, they're ready to go, ready to drop whatever and go. No questions. No questions. So here's the first thing to be led by God. Know who you are in Christ. Are you in Christ today? Do you have a personal, growing, vibrant relationship with him where God speaks to you and you hear him? What I love so much about the potential of what we did over the last 2 weeks is that you had money that the church gave to you in your pocket, and you took that seriously, and you wanted to hear God in it. You wanted to hear God, and you touched people with it. And here's the thought. You can do that every single day of your life. You can do it every day of your life. You might not be able to afford a $20 bill every day, but you can afford the gifts and the talents and at least some of the resources that God has given to you just to be on the alert. Just to be on the alert to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And I want to ask you to do something. I'm asking you as your pastor, and I'm asking myself to make myself available to the Holy Spirit every day of my life to say, God, how will I live today? Who will I speak to? It's like I said a few weeks ago, a gift of mercy. So I'm a mercy guy. So God, who needs mercy this week? If you're a servant, who needs serving? If you're a giver, who needs resources? And just that, be ready, because we've said, yes, God, I want to be used. I want to be that vehicle. I want to be that channel. Don't want to be a reservoir dammed up for just me to enjoy. I want to give it away. So know who you are. Second thing. So when God asks you to do something, go on and do it. Go on and do it. That's what Philip did. Philip, man, Samaria is coming to Christ. Samaritans are following Christ. They're in the city of Samaria, the scripture says. And he's healing people, and people are coming to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord comes along, taps him on the shoulder, and says, hey, get up, and I need you to go down this way. Boy, he goes. He goes. You know, I realize that probably none of us in here got tapped on the shoulder by an angel. But you and I get tapped by the Holy Spirit often. Amen? Amen? Yes. And I tell you what, Holy Spirit's God. It's a whole lot better than an angel. I just want to see angels, worship angels. Listen, the Holy Spirit's living in you and me. And he's a whole lot better than an angel. A whole lot better. And yet he's entrusted us his word, and he's entrusted us with just the ability. If God says to ask you to do something, he's given you the ability to do it. If he's asking you to give something, it's because you got it in your pocket, or you got it in your pocketbook. Or if you don't have it, you know you're going to have it because he's asked you to do it. You're just going to be available and willing to say yes. That's what I saw in this project, a willingness. And you never know who you might touch. You never know. We have a lady in our church, been here a long time, and she fretted about her 20. Man, I don't want you to fret about that, but she fretted. And she said, I went up and down the highway, 377, wondering, what am I supposed to do with this? Who am I supposed to give to? And she pulls into a Sonic, and the first little girl that comes out, she says, that's it. And I started crying. Little girl came out, she said, no, this is for you. This is not a tip. I got a tip for you, but this is from our church. This is for you. And you probably think I'm crazy because I'm crying, but just God has spoken to me and I want to give this to you. And she messaged me on Facebook and said, this is what happened. And God just had done so much in her heart because of just being, trying to be sensitive to the Spirit of God to do what God asked her to do. And I want to say this, that little girl was the girl that was killed a couple of days later. Yeah. Now, let me say this right here. Killed in an accident. And I thought this, and I don't know if this is true, because I don't know if it's true. But could that have been the last act of kindness from a stranger? From somebody in the church that she experienced. It's the last act of kindness, of giving. You know, I think about that for a moment. God prompts us for purpose. God prompted Philip for purpose. It didn't make sense. To be honest with you, when we started talking about this, some of it was just kind of, I've never done anything like this before. This is uncomfortable to your pastor. I give money out to give away. And so there's just this discomfort at first. You know, some things don't make sense. That made more sense than anything, but some things don't make sense when God asks you to do something. You see that through Scripture, don't you? Hey, Moses, I need you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. That don't make sense. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Abraham, I want you to leave everything that you know, everything that's comfortable, and I want you to go away. Well, where am I going? I'll tell you later. I'll tell you later. I'll show you where you're supposed to go.
You know? And so he gets up and he goes. It doesn't make sense.
Peter's fished all night in Luke chapter 5. He's caught nothing. And Jesus comes along and says, hey, put your nets out for a catch. Are you crazy? I've been fishing all night. We've caught nothing. We're tired. We want to clean our nets, and our nets are clean. We want to go home. It doesn't make sense.
Yet he does what Jesus says. It doesn't make sense. Biggest catch of his life that he actually leaves on the shore to follow Jesus. Because you know what he finds? It's better to fish for men than it is to fish for fish. You know, being a part of God's plan is a whole lot better than the hobby or the job. It's just a whole lot better. Now, God will use the hobby. God uses the job, right? But to listen and to hear the promptings of the Spirit, as a mother and father, as a grandfather and grandmother, to listen to the promptings of God, to pray what I need to pray, to ask, to do what I need to do, to give what I need to give, to share what I need to share, to speak what I need to speak. Why not? Why not this kind of relationship with God? Why not like Peter? Why not like Philip? Why not like Stephen? Why not like Jesus? After all, Jesus says, that's what I'm doing in you, conforming you into my image, to be like me. And what did Jesus say? I don't do anything unless I see my Father doing it. I don't say anything unless I hear Him saying it. I see and I do as I do as I see Him do. I want to say this. That may seem totally impossible. And I'm going to tell you this. It is from human perspective. But let me tell you, it's not from the Holy Spirit of the living God. We can live this kind of life together. We can do this together. We can live this together of listening and being prompted by the Spirit so that in February, on the first Sunday in February, I pull out the microphone and I say, hey, what have you been hearing God asking you to do? And what have you been doing? What has God been teaching you? What has He been showing you? And I hope more than anything is that I'm just listening to the promptings of God. I'm listening to what the Spirit of God's saying based upon who I know who He is in Scripture and based on who I know I am in Him. And that's where I'm following Him. And let me just say this. It's real important. There's some of us in the Christian life, and I'm not talking about us unless it just the shoe fits, wear it. Okay. Some of us in this life hold on to junk and stuff and hurt feelings and unforgiveness and bitterness, and we hold on and we hold on and we hold on. And the Spirit of God said the first week, the first day, the first couple of days, hey, let it go, let it go. But somehow we feel more comfortable holding on to it. I don't know why, but it brings nothing but misery. It's miserable. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, let it go. Well, you asked me to do that last year. Or you asked me to do that 2 years ago. And the Holy Spirit has come and He said, will you obey the prompting of God and let that go? Let it go. Or maybe God's asking you not to let something go, but to embrace something new. That's what resurrection's all about, isn't it? Die to the old, we're living to the new. And what a great Sunday to start that. What a great Sunday. Listen, Jesus doesn't come along and say, hey, Finch, do this to make you feel guilty. He says to do it so you don't have to feel guilty anymore. And you can get rid of the shame, and you can get rid of the hurt, and you can get rid of the stuff. Hey, He's doing this for our good. It's a good thing to hear God, isn't it not? It's a good thing to hear God with a $20 bill in your pocket, given the church, knowing you want to be good steward of it. And so you're out there listening and looking, and you're realizing something. There's people hurting everywhere, and you're looking for it. Well, don't stop. Don't stop. This can be the greatest year of our lives together. It can. I just believe that. I just believe that with all my heart. That when we come and we worship like we talked about, we're not worshiping. We're not coming to Christ to get. We're coming to give. We're coming to give to Him, and we're coming to give to one another. We're not waiting to be greeted. We're going to greet one another.
Going to love one another. Not going to get our feelings hurt because three people didn't say hi. Well, three people might not have seen you today. But to be who we are in Christ and to do what He's called us to do. So listen, when God tells you to do something, just do it. Well, you say, well, what if it's not the Spirit of God? Well, look, He's not asking you to go rob a bank. You know that, right? You know that's not the Spirit. But why would God say? Why would not God say? Why not? Why wouldn't it be God to say, pick up the phone, call her, call him. Pick up the phone, say, hey, I've been missing you in church lately. Everything okay? Listen, you just don't need to hear that from me or staff. We need to hear that from each other. Listen, I believe with all my heart, this will be the greatest year of our lives together. I just believe that. If we will follow the promptings of God and do what we're supposed to do. You know, you've heard me say this a lot of times if you've been here a long time. What are the things that God's asked you to do that you've not done? Start right there. Go do that. Go do that. And all I have to do is say that, and you know what you already know what you're supposed to do that you haven't done. That's the application. To move with God. To move with Him. Here's the third thing, and I got 10 more. No, I'm just kidding. The third thing is, listen, just be about finding needs to meet. Bird dog it. Bird dog it. Be the bird dog. You may not have the resources, but you're going to be committed to connecting somebody who might. You know, somebody needs mercy. He's not a mercy guy. I'll find somebody for you. It's okay to say that. I don't have mercy, but I'll go find somebody who does. I don't tell them that. Okay. But just look for the need. They're everywhere. Everywhere. But so much, we get so tied up about where we are and where our experience is and how hurt we are that we're missing everybody else around us. And you know what? When we're missing everybody else around us, we're missing our own healing. When we miss everybody else around us, we're missing our own healing. That's the irony of it. So when I give, God blesses. Pours out the blessing. You know, this Ethiopian eunuch, he was a worshiper. He was passing by reading Scripture. He valued Scripture. He's a seeker. He's a man of influence. And he's also humble and teachable. And he says, listen, teach me. I need somebody to teach me and show me. And so God, the angel of the Lord, says, hey, quit doing what you're doing here and go do it down here. There's nobody there. It doesn't make sense. But I'll go. And when he goes, here's this great man of influence. He's the treasurer of Ethiopia. And he's a worshiper. He's got a copy of the book of Isaiah. He is reading it. And he's reading it out loud. Some commentator says he's reading it aloud to everybody that's in him. It's just not him. You think he's traveling by himself? Man of that great stature. No, there's other people. He's reading it out loud. And then the Holy Spirit says, hey, run up to the chariot. What does he do? He doesn't walk, he runs up. Let me ask you this question. What are you supposed to be running up to today? What are you supposed to be running up to this week? You may not know right now, but you may know in a few minutes, and you may know in the morning where the Holy Spirit says, that's what I want from you. Let me ask you this. Don't you want that from the Holy Spirit? God, show me. God, show me. Look for the need. He's going to go, and what does he do? He proclaims Jesus. And that's the fourth thing. Just proclaim Jesus. Just teach Jesus. Live Jesus. Talk Jesus. I'm not saying go around saying Jesus, 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 okay? I'm just saying be Christ. Be Christ in word and in deed. Listen. Let's be led by God. Let's be led by God. The things that you heard and did during this project, keep it up. And let's talk about it the first Sunday in February. Can we do that? In a whole month to say, God, I want to obey the promptings of God. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? And ushers, would you come forward for the morning offering? Now, Lord, I want to thank you in Jesus' name
for the great things that you've done in our lives, the provisions that you have given to us, the provision of resources. And oh God, I want to thank you for just church resources. Lord, I thank you that we've met budget this year, above. I thank you for the tithe that went out. I thank you for the needs that were met. I thank you for the commitments that were made. God, thank you. Thank you for that. And God, I just ask in Jesus' name that you would just bless this offering. I pray that this first week would be as strong as it's been the last few weeks. That God, that we would be generous, that we would be stewards, that we would hear you in our giving. Tithing and blessing people with the extra gifts that you give given us. I pray, God, for generosity that will flow. I pray, God, that you'd move in a mighty, mighty way. And I ask, Lord, that you'd bless this offering, you'd bless the giver, and that, Lord, next year this time, because you've blessed us, we're even given more. We're even given more. God, anoint this offering, anoint it for the year. May it meet needs, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.